Amen. I like that. What a blessing. Good, good, good. Thank you, Hollins girls. That's a blessing. Good. Praise the Lord. And you know, God is good no matter what. Often we don't understand, but that's where we are supposed to trust the Lord by faith. And that's what pleases Him when we have faith. So what a blessing. That's good. Well, turn to Acts chapter 4. We continue our story from this morning. I preached on a certain lame man. This morning, out of Acts chapter 3, it says a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, verse 2, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And I preached this morning about how he came for alms, but he walked away, he leaped away, he ran away, he praised the Lord. The challenge, obviously, don't come just looking for alms, look for God to meet the need. The alms, all that would have done would have just kind of temporarily fixed the situation. But boy, the fact that he could walk, the fact he could run, the fact he could work again, God took care of everything. You know, God wants to take care of everything for you. Don't just come begging alms. Don't come just, well, I just hope to get a quick fix till next Sunday. No, let God do a work in your life. Because God can. God can. He can change everything. And so this morning I preached on a certain lame man. Tonight I want to talk to you about a certain place for certain people. A certain place for certain people. Acts chapter 4 verse 1, as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. That's a lot of people. And what are these priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees, what are they all upset? Oh, this guy that was made to walk again. They just didn't understand that at all. They understood it was okay to give him alms, but to heal him? Wow, what is wrong with these guys? Well, they didn't like the preaching, but you know, it takes a certain place for certain people, and I want to have that kind of place. I want certain people, the certain lame man, the certain person, the list of people that I mentioned this morning, I want them to be able to come here and not just hear the tin cup rattle because somebody threw some silver into it, but to see God do what needs to be done in their lives. A certain place for certain people. Father, please bless the preaching. I do thank you for the music tonight and just for everyone who's here. We do thank you that the sun's shining and the snow's melting and the weather's getting nice, and it sure helped folks to get out today and for our morning service and then tonight. And we thank you for how good you are, as was just sung about. I pray that you'll help us to have the kind of place that can help certain people. Please speak to our hearts now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I went through chapter 3 and chapter 4, and I just kind of looked at what kind of place this was. I looked, of course, at the ministry of Peter and John and realized the kind of people they were and what kind of places was. God was doing some great works in this time. The early church was seeing great things happen here in chapter 4, right here at the beginning. You know, it sounds bad. I mean, it really sounds like things are not going well at all. I mean, the priests and the Sadducees, they grab hold of God's men and they lay hands on them. They put them in the jail. But what's it say in verse 4? It's almost kind of an afterthought here. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. Oh, you know, when you stop and you think, yeah, you know, a couple kids in junior church maybe, and yeah, a few folks on Wednesday night got saved, and a couple, you know, and it says the number of men was about 5,000. You know, a certain place for certain people. You know, if people think God can do something for them, they'll come. If people think, now they may initially think the church might do something for them, and we talked about that this morning, but if folks know that there is a place where God is still alive, where God is still working, where God is still doing a work. And so I thought about this place as we see it with the early church here, and I thought about what it takes to be a certain place for certain people. The first thing we see is we see fearless preaching. We see in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, look at it. And really, Acts chapter 3, verse 12 to 26, Peter's preaching. We'll go back to that. But in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Here's a couple of preachers that were bold. And boldness in the scripture, it always indicates confidence. Not confidence in themselves. The Bible says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Don't miss that. I mean, here's two guys. They're not eloquent. They're not saying all the things as many great orators might say. But the one thing they saw is they were confident in their message. They were bold. It was fearless preaching. And the Bible goes on. It says that they perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled at that. Why? Because they're so bold. They're so confident. And they took knowledge of them, what? They'd been with Jesus. They said, hey, these aren't just men getting up and giving a speech. These are men that are bold, they're confident, it's obvious. They've been with Jesus. You know, I wonder if people realize, if they see that. I wonder if it's true. Are we a place, a certain place for certain people where we have fearless preaching? We go back to chapter 3. And verses 12 through 26, Peter, I mean, he's preaching to him. And I'm not going to read all of it, but it's quite a message here. And he talks about how he said, ye denied in verse 14, ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder, talking about Barabbas, to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised. You killed him. You killed the Messiah. Wow. Fearless preaching, amen. He said, his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. That's how this guy walks today. That's how the lame was made to walk. That's how this man who came wanting some change to get a meal, hey, that's how God changed his life. It was the one you killed. You know, that's pretty fearless. They obviously didn't appreciate it. That's why in verse 3, they grabbed hold of him and threw him off into jail. You know, he said in verse 9 to 19 to these religious leaders, he said, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Whew, man, that's fearless preaching. Do you understand? If we're going to preach, we need to preach fearlessly. We need to preach as Peter and John would preach. If we're going to be a certain place for a certain people, if a drug addict's going to come in, if a drunk's going to come in, if folks with problems are going to come in, if people whose lives are wrecked because of sin and shame and guilt, we must preach fearlessly. We cannot be here simply to entertain. We cannot be here with the goal of folks feeling good because they came to church. There must be fearless preaching. It has to be in the auditorium. It has to be in junior church. It has to be over in the shepherd's department. It has to be everywhere we have preaching. It must be bold. It must be with confidence. It must be fearless. In our times and in our day, more than ever, people need to know there is a place where we're not afraid to preach the truth. There is a place where there is fearless preaching going on, and it's still good old-fashioned preaching. We need to preach the gospel fearlessly. Amen. Amen. Verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. That is fearless preaching. There is no hedging. There is no lukewarmness. There is no option out there. There's no saying, well, you know, we know you're sincere, and so I'm sure God looks. No, there is none of that. It is you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, or you are lost and condemned to hell. There's no hedging. There's no whitewashing. There's no way. You cannot, in junior church, please, in Sunday school, please, in the shepherd's department, please, don't ever tell people there might be another way. Because there is no other way. It's fearless preaching. It's a kind of preaching that has put people in jail. It's a kind of preaching that Fox's Book of Martyrs is written about. It's a kind of preaching that was done here where Peter and John, they were fearless preachers. And it's a certain place for certain people. It's not a place to make rich people feel comfortable. It's not a place to make poor people feel comfortable. It's not a place to make anybody feel comfortable. It's a place where we preach the truth and let the truth do whatever it does. Sometimes the truth will say, hallelujah. Sometimes we'll say, But it needs to be fearless preaching because that's Bible preaching. That's the truth. The gospel must be preached fearlessly. We need to preach with power. Look at 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 3. It says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul made it very, very clear. He said, you know, I preach, and when I preach, I was in weakness, I was in fear, I was in much trembling, and I was not preaching with enticing words. I wasn't trying to entertain anybody. I wasn't out to impress anybody. He said, I'm just going to preach with the power of God on my life. Sometimes I might be loud, sometimes I might not be loud, but I'm just going to have the power of God, because that's what a certain people needs. Is the power of God. And Jonathan Edwards read a message that he'd written. He read his message word for word, verbatim, right out of the script that he himself wrote, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And he read the message. He read it. And they say as he read, people started down the aisles weeping. People grabbed hold of the pillars in the church and begged God not to let them die till they got saved. He read the message from his script. Folks, it's always been about the power of God. It's always been about a 16-year-old boy standing in an invitation on the third pew and standing as the preacher gave the invitation and sweat pouring down my face. Trembling hands, my heart pounding. It's always been about the power of God. That preacher, you know, people will say, boy, you really stepped on my toes. I never left here. I wasn't anywhere near your pew. It's the power of Almighty God. It has to be fearless preaching if it's going to be a certain place for certain people. And there has to be purpose in our preaching. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, very, very clearly, God tells the men of God, he makes it very clear in his word that there has to be a purpose. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, but don't hedge on the word of God. Fearless preaching, bold with confidence, reproving, rebuking, but exhorting, lifting up all at the same time. Long suffering, have long suffering toward people, but give them the truth, the doctrine. And he said, that's the kind of preaching that we have to have. And I'm afraid that verses 3 and 4 have come true, folks. I'm afraid it's come true all across our nation and all over our world, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And there is a day where Christians are not tolerating the fearless preaching of old time. And I'm telling you, it's got to keep going because there has to be a certain place for certain people. Number one, there must be fearless preaching. Number two, there is a fruitful ministry. You'll notice in chapter 3, back in Acts chapter 3 and verse 10, a fruitful ministry. Is it real or is it not? And the Bible says, and I read this morning, after this lame man was healed, the Bible says in verse 10, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Why? Because they saw that this is a fruitful ministry. They saw this is a place where something happens. Chapter 4 and verse 14. The Bible says, "And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." Oh, I love that. "Well, we don't believe in this." Well, here he stands. You know. Okay, so his name's Poindexter. Poindexter, jump for him. That's twice in one day. I'm on a roll. Seriously, when your life is changed, when God does it, and I'm not talking about you turning over a new leaf. I'm talking about when God does something. See, the problem is some of you, honestly, you forgot. Do you know your testimony's still good? Amen. Oh, but it happened years ago. It's still good. Amen. In fact, it's better now. God not only changed you then, but he's been changing you all along, and you stayed changed. That's a good testimony. You know, if you just turn over a new leaf, that leaf flips the other way every now and then, right? When God makes a change, God makes a change. Oh, glory to God, you still have. Look, there ought to be fruit. There ought to be something happening. And to be a certain place for certain people. They're out there looking. They're looking. And they're looking for fruit. Fruit's a result. They want to know, is it real? I promise you, some of our biggest critics, they really want to know if it's real. I mean, some of the biggest critics, some of the people, I've been criticized before by people, and when it comes, when it really comes down to a crunch time, they say to me, "But is it real?" And they watch. Hey, you know what? If you don't believe in our God and you don't believe what's going on, why do you pay so much attention to us? Why do you care what we do? Why do you drive through our parking lot? Why do you look at what's going on? Why do you watch our girls walking across the parking lot? Why do you watch our people? Why? What are you looking for? I've asked many, and most of the time I've heard the words, "We really want to know if it's true." Well, the only way they'll see it is when it's a fruitful ministry. Like, well, here's that fella. You know this guy. This guy sat in front of the temple at the temple gate day after day after day. Alms! Alms for the poor! Alms for the poor! There's where he's been. You know this guy. Look at his face. That's him. There he stands. He's clicking his heels, and I'm not going to do that. Because I might go up, click, and come down and clunk. I'm going to tell you, fruitful ministry is what the world needs to see. The world needs to understand. That's why we're here, folks. We have a God that can do anything, and we must have fearless preaching. We must have a fruitful ministry. They could say nothing. Those who have been saved or helped under this ministry are proof. They're the fruit. And when you preach the truth and you preach it fearlessly and you preach it with confidence and boldness, people will get saved. People will get right with God. People will have their lives changed, and God will bless if we just let him do the work and we get out of the way. And there will be fruit. There will always be fruit. He's the vine. You can't go wrong with him as the vine. Amen. We just need to be the branches and let him put the fruit on there. Glory to God, this is good. Fearless preaching, fruitful ministry. Here's the third thing a certain place for certain people must have, and that's faithful convictions. Faithful convictions. You'll notice in verse 15 of chapter 4, we just continue here. And again, this is the book of Acts, and it's exciting, and it'll wear you out if you just read it. Amen? I mean, it's good. In Acts chapter 4, verse 15, when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men?" Can you hear them? I can hear them. You know, I can just hear them saying. I can see the look on their face. What are we going to do about these guys? What are we going to do about these Baptists? What are we going to do about the fair, this fair ministry these people have? Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll move them farther down the road is what we're going to do. These people, they're a blight on our fair. These people are messing up our fair. They give away lemonade. They give away tea. We'll stop that. We'll make a law against that. They're doing what? Kool-Aid? Kool-Aid? Where'd they come up with that idea? They're giving away Kool-Aid? Oh, how are we going to get rid of them? I know, we'll move them farther away. So they put us under a shade tree. You know, the first time, I think it was the first year they moved us farther away. Remember we had that hailstorm? Remember that? In fact, I think Noella got cut by a big old chunk of hail. And what happened? What happened during that hailstorm that was such a wonderful thing? Everybody ran into our tent. Oh, wasn't they? I believe this is true, and Kathy would know because she's always there. We had people saved during that hailstorm, didn't we? Because they ran into our tent. Oh, God's so good. Hey, you know what? They may not like it, but I know one who does like it. And the Bible says, you know, just like here, what are we going to do to these men? What are we going to do about this thing? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny. Isn't that funny how they just keep trying to deny it instead of saying, woohoo! Can you do that? Woohoo! Ah, that's not bad. We'll take it. It's getting hot, so who knows what's going to happen. Hey, deadbeats, why are you trying to waste all your time trying to deny it? Why not get excited about it? The guy is healed. I mean, this guy sat at the gate day after day holding out his cup, alms for the poor. You could hear him all the way down the road. Why are you trying to deny this thing? I don't know. You know, the world is just a mess, isn't it? And these turkey buzzards are trying to deny it, and they can't. Here's what they said. So they decide this, all right? But that it spread no further among the people. We don't want this to spread. Why don't you want it to spread? Don't they understand there's a whole bunch of other folk out there that need what he got? They said, okay, we got this so that it spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them. That'll do it. That they speak henceforth to no man in this name. We'll threaten them. Yeah. And the average Baptist said, you know, Pastor, we need to lighten up. Hello? We need to slow things down a little bit. What do you think? You know, and the average Baptist, I mean, so many all across our nation. It's an embarrassment. I said it last week. The witnesses in Hebrews chapter 12, they have to bow their heads in shame. People that gave their lives to preach the word of God and took stands over the years, they have to be ashamed as we fall because we got threatened. Bunch of sissies. A bunch of milksop, generic cookie dip in milk, not even 2%, 1%, no, low fat. And that cookie break off, that's what their backbones are made out of. We'll just threaten them. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. You guys decide what you think. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Faithful convictions, just sticking with the stuff. I'm going to tell you, so many don't agree with this preacher, with you, so many, with what we believe and what we do. There's so many. They get all bent out of shape, but they're constantly saying, for example, Brittany and her mother sang a while ago, and I don't know of a young lady I'm more proud of, any more proud of, than Brittany, and then I'm going to throw Jessica in there because they're both seniors, and we're going to flunk them so they have to stay. Amen. You just found that out here tonight. Pray for the rapture. We won't have to deal with it. But they will ask us, or they'll have a Gabby, for example, who's back there, who loves to be embarrassed, with her sister Maddie, who I'm also very proud of. And they'll say, how can ours turn out like that? Well, they're not going to turn out like that with your praise team. They're not going to turn out like that with your wimpy, sissy, slip-wearing preacher kind of preaching. Amen. It isn't going to happen. It isn't going to happen with church leadership that has this conviction one day, and because it's inconvenient, they change it. It is not, that is not how you end up with solid people in your church, a certain place for certain people. There's got to be faithful convictions where they know, okay, so you get a little out of whack and you run off somewhere so you can jive for Jesus for a while, but you always know there's somewhere you can come back where it's a rock. Amen. Well, Brother Rogers, I had somebody the other day say, Brother Rogers said, you haven't changed. Well, I have. Glory to God. Conviction is believing something is so right, you die for it. And we need to build our convictions on the Word of God, not on anything else. And we need to be a person of conviction. In this passage, they were convicted about preaching the truth. Amen. And look, if it was just a preference to them, they would have stopped when they were threatened. But it wasn't a preference to them. It was a conviction. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, our convictions are going to be tested. They're being tested. They're going to be tested even more so. We will present next week some amendments to our Constitution. Just what do we believe? I know what I believe. What do you believe? What do we believe? And we're going to, you know, and we have to, well, you say, bless God, I just believe the Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. And praise the Lord. We'll find out. Because we're going to get put to the test. And what are you going to do? Amen. Faithful. Faithful convictions. To be able to say, you know what? This is what we've always believed. Amen. Years and years and years. Number four is a faultless testimony. That goes along with it. Faultless testimony. Verse 20, the Bible says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. They had a faultless testimony. What are you going to do? Well, they're guilty of something. What? I don't know. And until they start making laws against our God and what we do. Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's one example. Daniel. There's a good example. And when they tell us you can no longer preach what you preach, then we'll break the law. And they'll haul me away or shoot me right here. And then Brother Tim, you're closest. Then he'll say, you know, I got a stomach ache. I better go back down. No, he wouldn't. Brother Darrell would probably come up here with his cane and start preaching away. If he didn't, Phyllis would. I'll tell you what, some of the ladies in this church could out-preach some of the men in this town. Well, yeah, anyway, you say, I don't like all this. Well, plug your ears. You know, if we speak the truth, what can they say? Right? Amen. And if we live the truth, you know, what can they say? If you're saved, live like you're saved. If you preach it, live like you believe it. Amen. And the Jews found nothing against them, because what they said in their life were consistent with both. You know, we represent Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean we're perfect. It means we sure want to be. I really want to be. And that faultless testimony, it means so much. It's going to mean a lot in the near future. I promise you that. And it's going to save you a lot of headaches and a lot of heartaches. Number one is fearless preaching in the certain place for certain people. Number two is fruitful ministry. Number three is faithful convictions. Number four is a faultless testimony. Number five is fervent prayer. I'm just amazed how we don't pray. I'm serious. Over and over and over and over, the Bible tells us to pray. Brother Williams, seems like we have to have him show up every now and then and just tell us what wicked, vile heathens we are, because we don't do the basic thing in Christianity, and that's pray. Right? Yeah. He's coming for missions conference, by the way. So you better start praying. Verse 23, the Bible says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that," they got on the internet and told a bunch of people? No. They immediately got on Facebook and griped and complained about it all? No. Bible says they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Amen. And said, "Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." That's a good prayer. What do you think? And then they go on and say, "By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." In other words, when you pray, you say something like they said. "God, you've done this before. The heathen have come against us before. The ISISes of the world have come against us before. The crowds, the groups, the be it the homosexuals, the abortionists, or whatever it might be, they've come at us before. And Father, you dealt with that then as you can deal with it now. And so, Lord, if you would just notice what they're threatening with and behold their threatenings and let us just keep being bold." Amen. And then, "Father, if you'd stretch forth your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done." In other words, "God, we want to be a miracle ministry, where things are happening and people are getting saved and lives are being changed and people are seeing their homes brought together and children are getting saved and they're not going on drugs and everybody's not going out there and committing fornication like the world wants us to and we're not doing all those things. And God, that you're changing our lives. Let them see it. Amen. But thou art God." Amen. The heathen will always rage, always, always. And we pray this way, "Thy will be done." And we take our stand. By the way, Peter and John were both martyred. Peter was hung upside down on a cross because he was not worthy to die as the Lord Jesus. But he prayed that thy will be done. You say, "Preacher, do you think it's coming to that?" I don't know if it is or not. I know it's already come to a place where we need to pray. Amen. We've passed the time we need to pray. Amen. Fervent prayer, so important for to be a certain place. Well, what are you suppose going to help him? You suppose it's going to be our songs? We have beautiful music here. I believe that. I mean, honestly, I would love for the whole town to be able to hear that duet that we heard a little while ago. Honestly, I'd love that. I'd love for the whole town to be able to hear our children sing the song that they sang a little while ago. But I got news for you. That's not going to change their lives. We need to pray. Amen. We need to pray that when they sing and when they sing and when they sing or we sing and all that's happening, we need to pray that God will use it to get them ready. Because in just a few minutes, we'll have an altar call. In every service, we have an altar call. We haven't stopped that because a couple deacons started looking at their watch. Hello? We haven't stopped the altar call because somebody decided that maybe that would embarrass people to come forward. Well, the only person embarrassed is the backslidden deacon that doesn't want to go forward. I say deacon, it could be anybody. Could be a deaconess. It could be a preacheress. Huh? I don't care what time it is, do you? Amen. We need to pray. Amen. Fervent. Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. I like it. Fearless preaching, fruitful ministry, faithful convictions, faultless testimony, fervent prayer. And then this, and sad to say, we're actually putting in our statement of faith a statement about love. Number six, fraternal love. You say fraternal, what's that? Well, it started with an F. Went with my outline, in other words, but fraternal love, love. Verse 32, and the multitude of them that believe were of one heart. Wouldn't that be amazing? Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks, and I'm not being critical of the past 13 years, but I'm going to tell you, I saw something this past Tuesday that just thrilled my soul. And that was, we had a group of 11 folks sit down in the little room next to my office, and we talked about hymn books. And I promise you this, there are a lot of good hymnals out there, including the one we use. And we talked about what kind of hymnal we're going to get the next time, and we discussed it. And in my mind, and by the way, we had enough power in there to run several countries. Honestly. And intelligence, and people that are sharp people. We're not talking about, people that don't know any. These are music people, and they know all this stuff. And we sat down, and my prayer before was that we would somehow, miraculously, who knows how, we would all end up agreeing. And then everybody sat down, and I looked around, and I thought, fat chance. But I went back in the history lesson, and I thought, that's never happened. And we sat and we talked, and this person spoke about this hymnal and that one and this one and that one and everybody. And finally somebody said, well, you know what? Sounds like we all agree. We do? Wow, that sounds like Christianity. Sounds like the Holy Spirit. That's what He wants. Amen. Amen. Do you know we did all agree? All of us agreed. Everybody. Wow. You say, wasn't that the way it's supposed to be? Yes. It is the way it's supposed to be. No, that doesn't mean that everybody, didn't have opinions, but everybody agreed. This is what's best for us. Us. What about me? Phooey on that. Us. This is what's best for us. That's what it takes to be a certain place for certain people. It's what it says here, one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had, somebody answer that. They had all things common. Why? Because they had the Holy Spirit common with them. Somebody answer your phone. Is that Tom?
Yeah, Tom.
Well, who is it? No. I don't know anybody any more spiritual than Tom Benish is. He's one of our shepherds, and I've watched Tom all these years. I've been so proud of Tom. And he would never have his phone go off on purpose. He loves God. Are you embarrassed, Tom? I am too, just a little bit. Oh, Tom, you're such a blessing to me. People in the church, let's understand that we have to have an essence of self-sacrificing love in our church. We have to have a self-sacrificing love, a love that thinks of others, a love that thinks of the whole body. A love that is the hand, well, I want everything to go my way. I want you to buy a glove. I don't want you to buy a shoe. But the poor foot needs a shoe, right? The poor head may need a hat. Amen. Yeah, but what about my glove? Oh, we need to have this love, fraternal love. Unifying love. If you really love God, you're going to love His people. And that's us. That's what we are. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And that's how they know we're Christians. My Bible says that. They'll know we're Christians by our love one toward another. It's not how we love them. It's how we love each other. And they're listening and they're watching. And they're watching us. Annette out here that does the driver's testing out here, she watches all the stuff that goes on here. Those people that were working on our building constantly, they're watching everything that's going on. Wow, you people are funny. Your church is different. People are here every day. And you're happy. What's going on? That's what we want them to ask. Yeah. And Dale, you know, Dale met all those people and gave them a hard time. We'd kid around. Dale and I kid around and everything. They say, you people, you seem to love each other. Yeah, we're supposed to. Isn't that how it's supposed to be? Let me give you one more thing, number 7, and that is this, financial sacrifice. It's always going to be true. Always going to be true. Number 1, fearless preaching. 2, fruitful ministry. 3, faithful convictions. 4, faultless testimony. 5, fervent prayer. 6, fraternal love. Number 7, financial sacrifice. Verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And there was sacrifice made, and it has to take place. Now, I know our times are different. They didn't have buildings necessarily. They didn't have property like we do, didn't run buses that we know of. And things are a little bit, but in all of that, if you study and look at the New Testament church, there's always been financial sacrifice on the people's part. It has to take place. It has to take place. And you know, neither was there any among them that lacked. I mean, they looked around to help each other out. That's love. That's sacrifice. You know, instead of worrying about, I don't want to give too much. You can't give too much. Not when you just do whatever God tells you to do. It's just totally impossible. It has to take place. You know, God, it's how God finances his church. You'd be shocked how many times, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm begging God to give you a raise. Not our staff, but I'm talking about people with jobs. No, but I'm begging God. Actually, I'm begging God to give you a raise so we can give them a raise. Amen. I'm begging God that your accountant will find something so you can get back. It's no accident we just had the bus sign-up sheet during you getting your taxes back. I may be dumb, but I'm not stupid. And the next list is coming out next week. I'm not getting anything, but I'm praying that you will. I'm praying that your accountant will find something. He'll find it's legal. Amen. But I'm begging God that you'll get more hours. I'm begging God you'll get a raise. I'm begging God that you'll get paid something you didn't expect. I'm begging. You say, well, preacher, that's nice of you. Well, I'm doing it for you, but I'm also doing it so that you will do what you're supposed to do. Financial, it's always about that. And we believe it for missionaries, don't we? We have to believe it for right here, too. Because it's a certain place for certain people. And it ain't going to happen by accident. It's going to happen on purpose. You know, I'll be honest with you. The more you love, the easier it is to give. Amen. I mean, really, the more you... A good example, obviously, you know, when Brenda and I first met, I mean, I thought she was wonderful, and I wanted to give her a... anyway, but I didn't. But I didn't want to buy her anything yet. But the more I got to know her, I wanted to buy her stuff. By Christmas, my whole paycheck went toward her Christmas gifts. Aw. And now I'd give her anything she wants. Isn't that sweet? Yeah. I'm just very fortunate she doesn't want much. But it's just easier to give. And you know, the more you love him, it's just, oh, there's another sign-up sheet. Or, wow, we get him an opportunity to give. This is great. I have two people here that are saying, Pastor, what's the next project? What's the next project? I want to know what a project. I need a project. I want to give. Really? Yeah, I want to give. And I say, oh, that's silly. I'll invent a project. Amen. Real quick, in chapter 3 and verse 11, chapter 3, verse 11, as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, I really like that. He held them. Can you see it? Amen. He held on to them. And all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. In chapter 4 and verse 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. That's pretty good, isn't it? Chapter 5 and verse 14, look at that real quick. Chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men, multitudes. I like that. Isn't that good? Amen. You know, the more we love, the easier to give, and the more we give, the more lame are healed. The more drunks are saved. The more drug addicts' lives are changed. The more homes are fixed. The more children whose lives are a wreck are fixed. Amen. The more say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, the more lives have been changed. And they're all just part of a certain group of people. A certain place for certain people. Got to be fearless preaching. Must be a fruitful ministry. Faithful convictions. Faultless testimony. Fervent prayer. Fraternal love. And financial sacrifice. And I believe that we will be that certain place for certain people. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Let's stand together, please. Everybody standing. A certain place for certain people. You know, and I believe Kathy Morin would agree with this. If we don't have the power of God, nothing's going to happen at our fair. We don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. If our vacation Bible school is just a week of playtime and nothing's going to happen, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. If our shepherd's ministry, if all it is just a time to entertain a bunch of shepherds and just say, well, look what we did, pat on our back, I don't want to do it. I want God to do something. Do you want God to do something? Amen.